Wow.
It goes down, overnight. It just takes forever. Yeah, they said.
long time. It was an hour, maybe more. Josh finally showed up at the house. Josh had taken
And I'm muted. He didn't hold me on his elbow, so he wasn't pretty polite. We have this evening, it is the for the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen. It was a special meeting this Thursday, September 14th, 2023. It is 6:30. It is in person and virtual at the Town Hall. And at this time, we would ask that if you have not already, would you please sign in on the yellow paper over there? And also that if when you speak, we have an external microphone. We'll be using not only the computer, but also our lovely piece of wildlife, the owl. And it is attached to a secondary microphone. And that is because the board clerk will be taking notes, but also this will be recorded in case she needs to go back and hear things. When you do speak, would you please identify yourself, your address, and what you would be the issue that you will be presenting. And at this time, I would like to say that I would like to address how the order of presentations will go. Number one, the applicant, I'm sorry, let me just address one thing. In this town, it is imperative that we have great respect for each other. It is, I believe, a tenet of good government. And I would ask that everyone please speak politely. And if you have a comment to make and it is not your turn, you do not have the floor. I ask that you don't moan, you don't groan, you don't make other external noises because I do have a gavel and I will not be afraid to use it. Sorry. I don't love it. That was just a big joke. So I hope that that is an understanding for all, and I will be acting as chair. Number one, we will have the order of presentations. The applicant who has brought the issue before us this evening will go first. The town will have a response to the initial presentation, to the application. And please note that with us tonight is Mr. Barger, who is our town attorney, and he is considered part of the staff this evening, and he may participate as part of the staff. Number three, the public comment for those affected by the Pajoli Farm easement request will be the only ones that will be allowed to speak this evening. It is not open for all other members of the public, just those people who have properties that will be affected. Questions will be allowed by our board members this evening, and only questions right after each presentation. I will ask the board members to please be concise with your questions. Please do not repeat ones that have already been asked. And note, this is not the time for you to bring up your opinions. That is for number five. At this time, I would like to introduce our board members.
I'm Bob Moore.
Deputy First Selectman, Pam Sawyer, First Selectman.
Adam Teller.
And online we have Bob.
Bob DePietro.
Bob DePietro, and we also...
Still have me, Mike Aramita.
Thank you, Mike. And with us this evening, as far as town staff, I'd like to go around. We'll start right on the board. Patrice, would you introduce yourself and give your title?
I'm Patrice Carson. I'm just an observer tonight, but I'm the Director of Community Development in town.
And Mr. McKinnon, would you please introduce yourself?
Yep, Rich McKinnon, building official and land use department head. Just observing as well.
Thank you. And we have Linda as our board clerk. Thank you.
Jim Rupert, town administrator.
Have I missed anybody? I don't believe so.
Rich Barger, town attorney.
Thank you. I didn't mean to overlook you, sir. So I hope there are no questions regarding how this will be the order of the presentations. At this time, we're going to have a discussion. We're going to jump to number four, the executive session. After discussion and research, I would like to turn the floor over to Adam Teller for that response, please.
Oh, okay. On our agenda was an executive session. I do not feel that this matter requires or warrants or allows an executive session because I don't think it fits within the exemptions. So unless some other member of the board, and it takes a two-thirds majority of the board to go into executive session. So unless four other members of the board feel that an executive session is appropriate under the FOIA, I do not expect that we will go into executive session, and I indicate that I would not vote to do so.
At this time, I would like to say that I did review the statutes and I would concur with Mr. Teller on that issue, and I would recommend to the board that we do not go into executive session. But this time, I'm going to call for a roll call not to to delete number four from the agenda. Mr. Moore, would you make a motion?
Oh, so moved.
And a second, please?
Second.
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Teller, and the motion was made by Mr. Moore. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of removal of number four, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. It passes unanimously. Thank you. So at this time, we're going to move on to the presentation of information. And the first to go forward would be those persons who have brought the request forward for the Bajoli Farm / town easement. Who would like to speak on behalf of the that party?
I would, please. Yes,
please.
Okay, thank you. Can I turn that on?
It's on.
Okay, thank you. For the record, I'm Dory Famigletti. I'm an attorney at Kahan, Kerensky, and Capicella, and I'm representing Mr. Pajoli tonight. I worked with him on submitting the application that you have before you as a driveway permit application. I know it appears on your agenda as a request for a town easement. I think that's a little bit of a mischaracterization. It's really just an application for a driveway permit. We believe, and I'll get into the whys of this in a moment, but we believe we already have an easement necessary for public travel over this section of the roadway. So it's just a driveway permit, not a request for an easement. And specifically, what my client would like to do is to create a simple 12-foot wide gravel driveway off of the end of the cul-de-sac on Enrico Road to his southerly property line. Enrico Road is, in my opinion, a town road, and the full length of the road, whether it's improved or not, is a town road. It was conveyed to the town in 1991 as part of the Fiano Heights subdivision. And it was accepted by the town, not just the improved portions of it, but we believe the entire portion of it. And I know you have the subdivision map in your packet there. And when you look at the subdivision map, you will clearly see Enrico Road from its intersection with Birch Mountain Road all the way through to the all the way through to my client's southerly property line is described as Enrico Road, a 50-foot right-of-way. There's no differentiation. The entire 50-foot right-of-way is what was deeded to the town. So that includes the improved portion as well as any unimproved portions up to my client's southerly boundary. The deed, which you also have in your file or in your packet, the deed specifically describes the road by reference to that subdivision map. It doesn't separately describe either of the two road stubs that haven't yet been constructed, the off of the end of the cul-de-sac or the other piece at the other end of the road. They're not separately described on the map. They might be described in the deed, Mr. Teller, but they're not described in the map as a separate. It is one description of all. I do recognize that in the deed, it conveys, I'll just go to that. In the deed, it recites the roadway known as Enrico Road shown on the map together with a 50-foot right-of-way. And that 50-foot right-of-way, by the way, is the right-of-way, if I may point out, this down here.
I understand.
Okay, so they do say in the deed, together with a 50-foot right-of-way. That's actually a little redundant there regardless, because as you can see on the map, it's all described as 50-foot right-of-way Enrico Road. But that's not where our issue lies. Our issue lies at the end of the cul-de-sac, as you know. Let's see. So as you can see on the map, it goes all the way to the terminus of the Pajoli's right-of-way. In addition, if you look at the deed, the language is very clear that the premises are conveyed to the grantee for use as a public roadway. Also in your packet, you'll see that there were minutes of a meeting where it said, well, when it was considering the adoption of Enrico Road, it said that the wording of the deed would be to the satisfaction of the town attorney and the board of selectmen. So the town attorney and the board of selectmen reviewed the deed that described the full 50-foot right-of-way and also used that language that says that the two above described premises, which are again redundant because it's Enrico Road plus that other 50-foot road together with right-of-way, which is in my estimation still part of the new road, are to be conveyed for the use of a public roadway. So I believe it's pretty clear that the town accepted the entire roadway, not only by virtue of the language of the deed, but also by virtue of use. So acceptance comes in two ways. You have to actually use the land that's accepted as well. And actual use by the public signifies acceptance of the unimproved portion as well. And the unimproved portion of the roadway is being used by two abutting lot owners in the Fiano subdivision, Fiano Heights subdivision. You have the map in your file. I'm going to pull it out. You can see from this aerial that was part of your packet. You can all know how the aerial was part of your packet.
Yes, ma'am, we did.
You can see the 50-foot roadway line superimposed there. And then you can see portions of the driveway to the two abutting lots on the east and west are within that 50-foot roadway. So the two abutting property owners are making use of that unimproved portion of the roadway. And actual use signifies, yes, thank you. Can you see where I'm talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. So you see the two driveways there. Now in the memo that I've given you, and I don't want to read the whole thing now because I hope I can presume that you have all had a chance to read it before tonight's meeting.
It has been given to everyone and I believe everyone has read.
Fabulous, okay. So in the memo that I've prepared and submitted as part of the driveway permit application, I've cited case law that provides that to have actual use of it, it doesn't have to be by a large number of people, and it doesn't even have to be a large volume of travelers. It just has to be used by those who would naturally be expected to enjoy travel over it and have done so at their pleasure. Well, those who would naturally be expected to enjoy travel over this unimproved portion would be those who abut it. It is in fact being used by two of the abutters right now, and my client's is an abutting property owner as well, and he wants to be able to use that unimproved portion to construct his own driveway. He's prepared to construct a 12-foot gravel drive, as I said, to use as an alternate access to get to his farmland. It will go from the cul-de-sac up to his southerly property line and then onto his property so he can bring tractors occasionally over that driveway to access his farm. He does have another access to the farm. He uses it. It's quite steep. It's erodible under certain weather conditions, and it's not ideal for all travel. So occasionally, this is a necessary ingress and egress to his farming operation, and he would like to get the permit approved in order to be able to do that. Now, as a public roadway, the law is clear that a public roadway is subject to a public easement to pass and use the road. So that's why I don't think we need an easement. Once you've accepted the public roadway, the public has an easement to use that road, both the improved and unimproved portions. And if it's unimproved, they have the right to make improvements to the unimproved portions as are necessary to get to the traveled portion, the improved portion of the roadway. So I don't believe an easement is required. I believe by law, there is a public easement to travel to the abutting and adjoining property owners. And that's all adjoining property owners. They have that easement and right to reasonable access to the traveled portion, just by virtue of the road having been accepted as a public road. Again, I'm harping on it, but acceptance both via the language in the deed, which says this Enrico Drive is accepted in its entirety as a public roadway, and also is demonstrated acceptance by actual use. So all my client needs is simply a driveway permit, not an easement, just a driveway permit, which is something that is provided for by ordinance. And with all due respect, I believe this board is the only board who has the authority to act on a driveway permit. The ordinance is quite clear that the Board of Selectmen shall act on driveway permits. There is a town administrator, and the town administrator does have certain identified duties in your charter, but that is not to make binding decisions on something that an ordinance specifically requires this board to act on. That is why we're here. So we're hoping that you will consider our driveway permit application. The permit fee has been paid. The bond has been posted. A plan has been shown, showing where the 12-foot gravel drive is proposed to be located. And my client is prepared to construct it to the standards required in your application form. It really doesn't seem any different than any other driveway permit application that you would have reviewed and approved. And I will note that as an abutting property owner, he has a right to use this again. And it's not just for the neighbors here that we've... These two neighbors here aren't the only ones, the existing two neighbors aren't the only ones who have been granted rights to put a driveway off of a cul-de-sac. You also have in your packet an application relative to 81 Birch Mountain Road, which was granted in 2005, which clearly shows the granting of a driveway permit to include a driveway extension off of a cul-de-sac. There was no question and no intimation at the time either of the 2005 permit or when the abutting landowners put their driveway that they had to, for some reason, pave a road all the way to the point that they would need to make their connection. I do believe if my client wanted to pave a road there, that he'd have the right, but he doesn't need to and he doesn't want to, and he has the right to use this at his convenience and to use the unimproved portion to get to the traveled portion and make whatever improvements he deems necessary. I would think everybody would prefer him to just put in his 12-foot gravel driveway than to pave all the way up to his southerly property line, a road to town specs. That doesn't seem to make any sense. So the town has allowed these driveways off of cul-de-sacs, again, numerous times. I don't have any idea why they would not allow my client a similar permit to access his farm, especially when his driveway, this new driveway, will only be gravel. It will only be used periodically, and it will be used in order to maintain and avoid additional erosion problems on his property. And this is a community that has its roots in farming. And one of your stated goals of the plan of conservation and development is to preserve your open space land and your farmland. Let this farmer please get to his property. That's all we're here asking for, to be treated like everybody else, especially the other adjoining property owners, and to be able to construct his mere 12-foot gravel driveway to get to his farm. If you have any questions about my legal memorandum, or, I don't want to go point by point through the town attorneys. I think that you've all reviewed that as well. There's a lot of points in there that I agree with. The biggest differentiation that I can state is, again, we believe that the entire length of the roadway was what was described in the deed and was dedicated as a public roadway, not just the improved portion. So I think we take a different opinion there. And the town attorney also recites in a number of key areas where this unimproved portion was expected to be just for a future road extension. Well, it wasn't described as such. It was described as a part of the roadway. And your regulations require, in two different places in the regulations, that if it's just going to be a future road right-of-way, then it has to be separately described on the subdivision map. And it wasn't. So we don't look at this as a future roadway only for a future roadway extension. We look at it as part of the accepted road, and we believe we have the right as an abutting property owner to improve a driveway to access the traveled part of that road.
Councilor, would your clients like to address the work before you are questioned?
Would you like to stay with Tommy? Do you have any comments to make? Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about why you need to use this driveway?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Please state your name.
Yep, I'm Thomas Pajoli, 92 Birch Mountain Road. I wanted to gain access to the back of the farm to control erosion. I've worked with NRCS for many years to get that erosion under control, which it is. And I want to retain the grass line waterways that we installed. And with the severe rainstorms, it does wreak havoc. The erosion goes down below at the bottom of the hill. As you know, Jim, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
There's a big pond. That's where the erosion goes. And the 12-foot access road, if I were to put it in, I would not interrupt the landscape as little as I can for privacy for the neighbors. I very respect that. There are some mountain laurel there now. I would do very minimal digging to the landscape. I would actually even improve it if needed. I just want to be able to access the back of the farm to make it better for the farm, make farm improvements. That's all I'm asking.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll allow the board members, we will go around the board to be able to ask questions. I would ask that you keep, again, reiterate that you keep your questions short and concise. Do not repeat other questions that have been asked, and we will have you address them to the counselor for the Pajoli Farm, and she will be the person responding. At this time, I would also say that this is not the time for any board member to cite an opinion or an experience that they have had. So thank you very much. At this time, I would like to give the floor to the Deputy First Selectman. Mr. Moore, do you have questions at this time?
Thank you. I have a technical one. It has nothing quite to do with your particular argument, but on the maps, one thing I did not see is any elevation. What type of sloping are we dealing with?
There the map that I gave to the town.
I apologize. I thought there we go. That was on the that's right. Okay. Sorry, Tom.
Do you have any other?
Not right now, thank you.
We'll go then to the board. Ms. Aramita, would you like to ask a question?
Negative, I'm fine.
We'll come back to the table. Mr. Teller, would you like to address the attorney?
I have a few, both for counsel and maybe through your client. Maybe starting with that. Looking at the map that's labeled Bushnell Associates, it's dated revisions 310. 2023. And am I correct that this sort of faint line down the center of the
yes, the
deeded area is what you where you propose to put the driveway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So just Linda, there's
so there's a 12-foot
looking off on that.
A 12-foot sort of sketched in space, right? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, but more or less to the east side of the not all the way down the line, but
no, no, well, but, down the line. This is like the landscape that I would not want to disturb.
Right.
So if I had to put a little boat to it, leave the trees, everything would remain the same.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Okay. Well, yeah.
If we can.
Right. So my question is a couple of things. The first thing is, this is not going to be paved except for the apron, correct?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And so the way you've drawn it, the apron intersects with the driveway that would be on 44 Enrico, the very end of it.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Here.
Yep.
And maybe just a little
tail end less over here.
Yep. Of the driveway that's on 45 Enrico and a little bit of their stone landscaping, which is in the driveway area. So what are you proposing to do at the end of that? Because is that going to be one paved apron that extends across everybody's
front there? Well, that would be what?
And where's the swale going to be? Because is that if I'm reading the topography, that's coming down?
Yeah, it's coming down a little bit. I think it's...
So it can't come down into the road and dump water. So it's got to have a swale, right? I mean, a bump.
Yeah.
I think we've seen it, but we could if you want to use it. But, and I'm sorry, you should identify yourself so it's on the recording.
Kristen Moore, I work with at 45 Lincoln Road.
Okay. So just looking at this, you're gonna have to do an apron because you've got to according
to the that would be a question that I would have for you guys, would it be a total apron to take this out or leave the existing pavement and add in right into just the V?
Okay, well,
that's what
I'm asking you because it's your application, but that's the first question. So the second question I have is none of this would be paved except the apron? Is that what you're proposing?
Okay. Yeah.
And it would be more or less straight, not meandering. Mm-hmm. And how long is it all together?
Good question. It's probably...
It's 230 feet, or 200 feet, maybe, or a little less.
I think it's less than that.
So doesn't a 200-foot driveway have to have a bump out somewhere for fire? Well, that's what I'm asking them.
Okay.
For now.
I'd say it's approximately 100 feet, if that.
Well, this is 230.
We're just starting from here. Well,
Maybe it is.
That's 50 more. Feet. Yeah. So 50? That's about 200. It's about 180 feet.
Okay.
So it's definitely more than 150. And I'll have to check the driveway rates, but I'm thinking that you're going to. That you would be required if you're complying with the regs to have something for fire apparatus, but we'll ask staff about that.
Would that be necessary? Being that there's no.
We will ask those questions.
We'll get to that with staff.
Because
I'm going to have more questions for them. Okay. And do we know the grade of that? Is it more than 15%?
We don't have
Andrew
Bushnell here, but we can certainly get all that information. I can tell you that we have reviewed the standard conditions for driveways that's on the permit application, and we're prepared to build to that specification. If you want to see more detail on the plan, we could certainly ask Andrew Bushnell to put it on and bring it back to you.
Okay, and then there's a stone wall back here that you're preserving, right?
This was actually
cut that down.
This was actually a stone wall made by the last third owner of the house that was here. It was Dwayne.
Goes into the road.
Into the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's actually a few stones he left right here.
Okay. All right. So I'm done with the map, but I have some questions for
you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So. How big is the parcel on the map?
How big is your farm?
The east side of the farm is probably 65 acres.
And it has frontage on Birch Mountain Road?
Yeah.
Does it have any other frontage besides whatever
this is on Birch Mountain Road?
So it has access off Birch Mountain Road already, and there's a curb cut there?
I'm sorry.
Is there a curb cut onto Birch Mountain? Is it the one
that
comes from the barn?
Yep.
And have you looked at a copy of the minutes from the Board of Selectmen meeting that where the road, whatever they accepted?
Yes. Accepted? Let me just pull those out.
While she's doing that, one moment, please. Our board clerk had a hand up. Do you have a question, Linda?
It would be a lot cleaner if Mr. Teller could ask his questions maybe a few at a time and they can answer instead of stepping up to the table, because everyone's talking over each other and it's getting a little messy.
Sure.
Thank you for the question.
So if I'm reading the minutes of that Board of Selectmen meeting, the reference to the board having requiring completion of as-built drawings according to the specifications. Do you know what those as-built drawings were when they were submitted with the deed, and did they describe the road?
I do not have a copy of the as-built drawings. All I have is a copy of the subdivision plan that was referred to in the deed. The description of the deed didn't refer to the as-built, so I don't think that would control from the description purpose.
The deed was after this, right?
No, I would expect, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, the deed would have been after the board accepted or made this motion to act on it, because it says that the wording of the deed will be to the satisfaction of the town attorney and the Board of Selectmen. So I assume this happened before they saw the actual deed.
Do you have the document reflecting what the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended in writing, or is it just, are you just relying on what's in the minutes?
I didn't even pull the minutes. The minutes were pulled presumably either by town staff or the town attorney as part of your packet. I'm relying solely on the deed, okay. The recorded deed, because that's the conveyance, and that's what created the roadway.
Isn't it correct that the deed is controlled by the given, right? I mean, the town doesn't.
No, I disagree with that. I think every time we do a deed before the town accepts it and then releases the bond on the roadway and all that, it's reviewed by town staff and the town attorney.
But it takes an act of the Board of Selectmen to accept a road, right? Correct. And you think that simply by accepting the deed, that's acceptance of a road?
Acceptance of a road is by virtue of, number one, accepting a deed, but also, as I put in my memo, also it's demonstrated by actual use of what was conveyed. And I submit that there's actual use of the entire Enrico Road, not just the traveled portion, that's clearly used, but also the untraveled or the unimproved portion, because that's being used by two abutting property owners. And that, based on case law, is enough to demonstrate actual acceptance.
Is that used by the public or by those two
properties? It doesn't matter. They're members of the public. And the case that I recite says, as long as it's somebody who has cause and purpose to use it and who would be naturally expected to use it, which would be in a butter, it doesn't mean it has to be by large numbers of the public. It doesn't have to be traveled by all members of the public, just by those who would have cause and be expected to use it.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. DePietro, do you have questions?
Well, I'm curious, Tom mentioned the USDA NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service, he's been working with. Tom, do you have a conservation plan?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, he does.
Is that available for us to observe or look at?
I can dig it up. I don't have it here, but it was put up by Mike Rosato. And I believe it was your brother.
Really? Okay.
Further questions, Mr. Pedro?
Yeah, just wonder if this is a matter of agreement with as proposed, is there any other possible long-term plan for how the property, the farm itself, could be used?
Not while I'm
alive.
No.
We have no intentions of doing anything with the property other than continuing the farming purpose on it.
Thank you.
It will be a farm for my generation and the next one.
Great. His kid. Great. Thank you.
There's nothing written in stone, but that's how it's going to be.
That's our intention.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Mr. Armita, do you have a question? Hearing none? At this time, then, thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this time, we would ask the public comment by those that are affected by this request. And if you come up to the table to speak, would you please identify yourself and where your property is for the recording? So who would like to go first?
I guess I'll go first.
Hello.
Kristen Moore. I live at
45. So you need to speak up just so
often. Kristen Moore, I live at 45 Enrico Road.
Thank you.
I thank the town for moving the appointments as I was working in August. I work at night. And this is just trying to be fully transparent. This started for us back in October of 22. My husband saw Mr. Pajoli on his property and he was clearing some down trees. And he just friendly, because I feel we're pretty friendly with him, asked him what he was doing and essentially said he was going to be clearing land because he was planning to put a house for his daughter there. So I just want to understand if it's just to access his property for agricultural use or if he's planning to put a house there, because that's two different things. And I feel like even when I've talked to the town, I'm not getting transparency about that. The other issue I have is that my husband and I even purchased this property, we wanted to put an outbuilding on our property. And so we met with all the town boards. We had to pay for their time. I think sanitation was there, wetlands, zoning and planning, building, like anyone that needed to be involved in a permit for that, because we weren't going to buy the property unless we could put a building there, essentially. And when we got our plans, which you guys have, it clearly shows that our driveway drops into this right away by like 3 or 4 feet. So we asked about it, and at that time we were verbally told that that was only if the subdivision continued, and that with the driveways obviously there, we assumed by that statement that it was no longer a viable right away. And if we had known that there was any chance that this right of way could be opened or there could be a driveway there, we would not have purchased the property at the time. Because I feel that if there is access of this driveway per the permit that we got in the packet, while it's only 12 feet, it clearly says in the permit that it has to flare 20 feet, which means now not only will Ms. Ward clearly be into that space as a shared driveway, we would definitely be also completely into the shared driveway, which causes other legal issues depending on whose property that is. If there's damage to the property, if there's erosion along the property line, I know we also have to give slope rights to this right of way. So do those come into effect with the fact that this driveway would be there? There's elevation specifically on our side, quite a bit as you get closer to our property. I think we're 25 feet from the property line for when we built the building. So now you have three shared driveways. That's going to affect our property value. It's also going to affect resale, because I know myself, I would never purchase a home with a shared driveway just because of the legal issues. And we're kind of stuck now, because now we have to disclose this to anyone we try to sell to. The other thing is, if it is, I wanted to just find out who was legally responsible, because I've gotten different things from calling the building, that whether or not the town right away is the town's property, or is it whoever has the driveway in the property? So that become Mr. Pajoli's property once you put the driveway in, or is it the town property who maintains that? But I feel like there's a whole host of other things that go along with this decision that we were not really involved in 1988 when this house was built. Clearly, if you look to the other end of the property, you can clearly see it was 50 feet. Neither of those properties on either side, I don't know the numbers, are nowhere near that right of way. We're clearly right directly into the right of way. I didn't do that. That's what the town decision was back in 88 or whenever the driveway was was drawn onto the map. We looked at the one on Elizabeth, same situation. It's clearly 50 feet. It's actually a paved driveway, which we took a picture of, and there's no houses even anywhere near it. So it wouldn't affect anybody else's property at all. So it just, I mean, in this circumstance, unfortunately, we don't want to be part of this problem. Honestly, we don't want any issues with Mr. Pacioli and his family. It's just that there are repercussions to this change. I mean, we've given up, unbeknownst to us, we've had to give up part of our land in the front to give the cul-de-sac to the town to build the cul-de-sac. So there's just a whole host of things that I think go into this. And it just makes for a sticky situation for both of us on either side of this. And I just wanted you to take that into account.
Would you like to also address the board?
No, she covered it.
Thank you.
And would someone else like to address the board?
Good evening. My name is Priscilla Ward, and I live on 44 Enrigo Road, which abuts the right-of-way. I just bought the house in Bolton about a little over 2.5 years ago, and absolutely love it. It's a beautiful property, beautiful neighborhood, beautiful neighbors, and the town of Bolton has been a delight. I was quite surprised when I learned of this proposed driveway. Both the Morris property and my property were constructed way back, I think, in 1988 in a very different way, where driveways come down and there's very little space, very little unused space between them. So I don't know how that was approved, but that's how it was when I bought it 2.5 years ago. And then I looked through all the paperwork that had been submitted. Thank you to your staff for helping us with all this information. And what I think really stands out to me is I'm happy to be here tonight because it says that the easement shall be for future extension of street. So in other words, where Enrigo Road ends on our driveways, it's going to be extended to build new homes, that's fine. I knew that and accepted that. And also, the regulations do not authorize or permit construction of driveway or other access through right-of-way, even on a temporary basis. And this is part of the Bolton subdivision regulations that I'm referring to. And finally, regulations do not authorize the use of right-of-way as a private driveway. And I feel nowhere, and this is section 11, number 15, nowhere in this section does it authorize driveways, only streets to connect to other streets or abutting property. And I felt very strongly about these words, and I'm hoping that the Board of Selectmen will uphold that. I know that that Mr. Pacioli would like to build a driveway, but he does have access to that property right up to the fence that's next to our driveway, and they come in from Birch Mountain Road, and I'm not sure if it was you or someone in your family came with a tractor and a bucket and was cutting trees down last fall. And my daughter went over to ask, to see who they were. We had no idea. And they said that they were collecting wood and chopping down trees and collecting wood, and perhaps maybe building a house. And then during the year, there were people who came to survey the whole area. And when I went up to the surveyors, they said they were from the town. And so I accepted that. But I guess I really feel that not only can he bring a tractor from Birch Mountain Road, but also his very nice family uses it at times for recreational purposes. So it's a used area, and it's right along the line of our property lines, both Mr. and Mrs. Moore's and mine. So he does have access, can come right in with a tractor, can come right in with ATVs and enjoy their property. So I really question the necessity of a driveway in an area that shouldn't be used for a driveway. So that's all I have to say, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. At this time, because for those who have spoken, there are the two people who have addressed us. Is there anyone else who is affected that would like to address us? I'll ask one more time. Is there anyone else? Hearing none, this time I'll ask the board members if they have questions that they would like to ask of you. Ms. Moore?
The speaker, no.
Thank you.
I do have a question for both of the last two speakers. Do either of you have your driveway permit?
I need you to speak up, and I need you to come back to the microphone. Both of you, please.
Do either of you have a copy of the driveway permit for your lots?
No, that was put on before us. In fact, the thing said it's gravel, but it's actually paved. Both of ours are paved.
Right. No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But, because there's as-built surveys here for... Mm-hmm. Or at least one of the houses, which says existing gravel drive on it.
Right.
So I don't know when it got paved, but...
Oh, yeah, prior to us, that's the one that we had used for when the town came for our building. We had to use that copy to put the building on that to get approved.
So there's an as-built plan here for house number 45, and there's an as-built plan, and they both say gravel driveway. So I'm wondering, at what point was it permitted...
We bought the house in 08. 45 Rico was bought in 08, and it was there before us. I believe people before us were there for 2 years, and they said it was there before they were. So it was sometime before 06.
So I just kind of wonder, hey, so this will be a question for town staff, is whether anybody has the actual permits and what was approved in that configuration, because it would have to be a driveway permit when it was paved, certainly, right?
We'll get that information for you. Anything else for Mr. Tuck?
Do either of you have any issues when you come in or out of your driveways in terms of traffic going into the other driveway in terms of safety, or when the plows are going by, or anything else that's a problem because they're so close together now?
I think just with snow removal, there's not a lot of space there, so we have to actually move it pretty far around because there's not a lot of space between our driveways. So right. At least for us, well, no, you snowboat too. Our the previous owners of them, they plowed, so it wasn't as much. But there's not a lot to put in the end. There's not a lot there for snow.
Mm-hmm. During the winter, where does the town put the snow? Where does the town plow to deposit the snow?
Because there's on the edges or into the circle.
They just push
Both. They're up. They push it up onto our aprons, mm-hmm. and then they also push it into the circle.
Do you get it? They don't push it into your
Yes.
So they plow it right into the
They've almost hit the electrical conduit at the other end of our property.
Okay. And then you have to move it somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Or it's not completely moved, it's kind of still sitting in the street, so we have to remove it again.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Mr. Taylor, can I?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, for a second.
I will come back.
Do you need to see something?
No, it's just can't help answer your question. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
thank you. At this time, Mr. DiPietro, you're on mute, sir. Would you try again?
Thank you. I'm sorry. My question will be for staff, not the applicant.
Thank you, Sister.
I don't see it.
Thank you. All right, that concludes the questions, and I have none. He is not no longer with us.
Oh,
he had to leave.
Sorry.
Very good. At this time, we've now heard from both the public who are affected. We have heard from the owners of the farm and their attorney. And so at this time, we will hear from the town staff. And I will turn the floor over to Mr. Rupert.
Well, we acted on the driveway permit based on the advice of the town attorney after looking at this. I will say that I've been in the town of Bolton since 2007, July 19th of 2007 to be exact. And in all of my years, I have never seen the Board of Selectmen act on a driveway permit. That has been something that's been delegated to staff in all of that time. I suspect that somewhere along the line, the Board of Selectmen delegated that to staff, but I've not been able to find any record of that.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think I think, you know, the opinion of the town attorney and my decision are on the record. So unless anybody has questions for me, I don't think I have anything more to offer.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Rupert? Mr. Moore, do you have a question?
Not for Jim.
Thank you. Mr. Teller?
So Jim, a few questions. My first question is the same one I asked the two abutters. Is, has anyone looked at the driveway permits for the abutters? I'm kind of wondering what actually the town told those landowners they were okay to do.
I have not tried to find them.
My second question has to do with the configuration of the driveways as they are now. They're quite close together. They're in the area where normally on a, at least I perceive that normally on a cul-de-sac, there probably would be a snow shelf. And for some reason, even though it's not shown on the plans, the pictures show that there's an island in what's supposed to be a cul-de-sac. To me, a loop with an island in it is not a cul-de-sac. That's not how it's described in the subdivision regulations, I believe. It's supposed to be an open area. So my question is there a safety issue at the end of this cul-de-sac? Is there a snow removal issue at the end of this? What are the physical limitations of having either two or three driveways lined up less than 12 feet apart, or possibly the entire end?
I think it presents some additional difficulties for snow removal. Typically, you know, as you know from, you know.
Well, let me stop you there and don't treat them as driveways.
Yep.
In that there's something special about them. Treat them as they happen to be there, but the town owns that land.
Right. Typically, if we were accepting this kind of a roadway today, we would see a particular snow shelf easement. You know, and this is, I think this is a bit of an assumption, but my guess is that when the Planning and Zoning Commission made a recommendation to accept this road back when they did, you know, they assumed that they would have that right of way in order to push snow in, so they didn't need a separate snow shelf easement. I don't know that, I wasn't there, but you know, it certainly would make sense that it would be an appropriate location to push snow. I have to say that I've never plowed snow on Enrico Road, so I don't know how it actually affects the snow plowing. I know I've driven all over town for the last 15 years, and I don't recall ever seeing large piles of snow where those driveways are. And I think, you know, the...
I'm not sure how they would be plowed in there because of the island.
Right, that obstruction creates, I think, an issue for snow plows.
So they have to go around instead of going straight down like they do on most coasts.
Right. It's more it certainly is more difficult.
Just out of curiosity, what do they do on, I don't even remember what they do on Elizabeth Road. Do they just plow it into the driveway and make that landowner, actually not the landowner, but the person who has that driveway, there's...
Well, I think they try not to put large piles of snow in people's driveways, but just by virtue of plowing, you end up with some of that hard packed snow in the end of the driveway. You know, the one that comes to mind is High Ridge Farms. And that one, I know, you know, I was here for the acceptance of that road. And that, you know, that is a similar situation with a cul-de-sac where there is a bunch of driveways that come together. And, there is a snow shelf easement between two driveways on that particular cul-de-sac.
Okay. So if you add another driveway here where it's proposed, will that create a worse problem for the snow, or will it be just dealt with the same way it is now?
I think it makes it harder because there's no opportunity to push snow in that direction.
What about the safety issues? Three driveways coming out, and they're essentially going to have to be one apron. Because I don't see how you fit. Well, you tell me.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it would have to be one large apron. And you know, I think under normal conditions, visibility is pretty good. But I think under slippery conditions, especially with the Moore's driveway in particular, it comes downhill. If it was icy, you know, they could slide into another vehicle that's queued to go out in the roadway.
That's about 10 feet and 50.
Sir, would you just describe that one more time, what you mean?
On Mr. Pajoli's surveyor's map, the slope of their driveway is about 10 feet or 50 feet.
Thank you.
Does that sound about right?
That's about right.
It's about 10%.
Yeah.
20%.
It's fairly steep at the beginning, and then it flattens out.
Can I make a comment for that?
No, I'm sorry. This is not explaining. My apologies.
Maybe 8.
Do you have another question, Mr. Kelly?
What about the topography of the proposed driveway itself? Is that slope in any way a problem?
I haven't looked at it in great detail, but certainly if it exceeded the slope requirements in the driveway permit, it would have to be paved.
Now the subdivision regulations say that a driveway that's 300 feet, I'm reading the question, needs to have a bump out for a pass by.
You said this was 250. Your understanding was it was like
it's maybe 180 to the property line. But how much farther is it proposed to go after that?
Thank you.
The question.
Do you have any other further questions, Mr. Keller?
No, I think I'm good for Mr. Rupert.
Do you have one for any other town?
Well, I do for the town attorney, maybe, but I don't know if we're at that.
Thank you. Mr. Petro, do you have a question for Mr. Rupert?
You're on mute.
One more time. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. If we could go back umpteen years into the Board of Selectmen minutes, might we find where we delegated the right to grant these kinds of permits to the town administrator? Regardless.
Without a date reference as to when that might have happened, that would be a very difficult task.
Charter and modification since then, so I'm not sure I would rely on something.
Please hold that comment. Mr. DiPietro, do you have a second question?
No.
Very good.
No.
Very good. No, mine are just already turned.
At this time, I would ask that we
will I have an opportunity to respond to any of the comments that have been made so far?
No, no, ma'am.
With all due respect, if there are comments made by the public with regard to the application or questions that have been raised by this by some of the members, I think I should have an opportunity to be able to respond to those before you make a decision, so you have all of our information before you.
Are you saying that you believe that there is something that's been left off your presentation?
It wasn't left off the initial presentation, but as discussion was happening amongst both some of the participants here in the public, as well as the board members, I do have a couple of responses to, just a very few, to things that were mentioned.
Do you have any opposition from the board before us?
No.
No.
Yes, ma'am. Please.
Thank you. Thank you. A question was, I will. A question was asked by Ms. Mora that whether my client was going to be putting a house there or just using it for agricultural purposes. My client clearly has stated that he has no intention of doing anything with his property other than using it for agricultural purposes right now. So no house. The second thing is, if you do feel it's necessary to have more detail on any of the technical design requirements or design of the proposed driveway, either the apron or the gravel drive itself, then I'd be happy to provide that to you. It would require you holding this open though. And the last thing is, Mr. Teller did mention the subdivision regulations and the requirement for a bump out if it exceeds 300 feet. The subdivision regulations don't apply here. The subdivision regulations only apply if we're seeking a subdivision approval.
Yes, ma'am.
This is already approved. If the subdivision, the underlying subdivision is already approved, and my client is not proposing a subdivision of his property. So with all due respect, I don't believe that the subdivision regulations apply. If there's something in zoning regulations specific to driveway construction, those we would have to comply with, and I'll have to go back and double check, or perhaps staff can tell me if there's something in the zoning regs.
Understood.
Okay. Thank you.
This time I would turn it over to the town attorney, sir. If you have comments you'd like to address.
I've considered this matter, as you know, Madam Chairman, and written an opinion after checking the facts and the law. And you have a copy of my opinion, and you can hand that. I provided it to Attorney Don Getty. I think the decision for this commission, this board, it comes down to whether or not you find that this is a right-of-way or a public road. This portion of Enrico Road, which was described in the deed, together with a subject right-of-way for highway purposes, and that portion, I'm sorry, that's not the one. This is the one to lot 10. This is the one to lots 12, and I want to refer to the one through the town, which is here. This is the deed that the town got for the property. Okay, this is what governs this parcel of property by law. Conveying the deed shown on the map, that the road is shown on the map, and then he says, the deed says, the law says, together with a 50-foot right-of-way, not a public road, a right-of-way. So your regulations separate roads, public roads, from future rights-of-way. This is a classic future right-of-way. It's designed as such. You've seen these throughout Alton, right? I would agree with Attorney Famigetti that if it were a public road, her cases would apply. But I, in my opinion, actually, I do not see this 50-foot right of way, which is described in the original deed, on the northerly end, which is connected to the westerly end. It's connected to the westerly end of the road, Enrico Road, and southerly end of which is connected to land now or formerly the end. So, It's a right of way. It's you can call it goose or chicken, but it's always going to be a goose. This is a right of way, not a public road.
I have to
excuse me. I'm sorry, this time.
Could I ask?
Excuse me, just one more
question please. About that.
Are you finished,
Mr. I'm not issue.
Sorry. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to bring up?
Well, another issue is that the charter allows this board to delegate anything that it's responsible for. Roads and things like that to members of his staff, and apparently that was done. So I'm not sure whether There's a jurisdictional issue here before the Board of Selectmen. Obviously, the facts show the district delegated many, many years ago. So, and it's Chapter 5.1B7, the charter, that's the current charter. But I'm quite sure I can go back and check all the charters back forever, but that's the current law of Bolton. You have the right to, the selectmen have the right to delegate that. There is an ordinance that says, as pointed out by the attorney properly, that says the Board of Selectmen shall do this. That's an ordinance. This is the charter. Which has priority? The charter or the ordinance? Okay. So I think the delegation happened. I'm questioning whether this should even be before the Board of Selectmen.
Thank you. At this time, I will have the board then address questions to you before I come back to the council.
I'll prefer Adam.
Mr. Tillett.
Okay, Attorney Buddy, let's just start with the deed because I'm reading the deed differently and maybe I'm just stupid, but
you're not stupid.
But the part that says, the part that you're reading that says a right of way refers to connection with land now or formerly of Rocco Fiano trustee. Mm-hmm. And if I'm looking at the subdivision map, P3, the land now or formerly of this of Rocco Fiano is to the south, where that little spur goes off on the key map. It's this. And I see Attorney Pemote nodding her head because she's been jumping up and down, hoping to say that.
Please,
but it's the spur that's the 50-foot right of way reference there.
Okay.
The reference to the Enrico Road, and I'm looking at the key map on page one.
Okay.
I don't see how that unimproved portion, or maybe do you see that that unimproved portion is somehow separated out and described differently anywhere?
I guess what I rely on, Adam, is that whenever the town receives these deeds, they receive roads and then they receive unimproved future roads. Was there any question when they took and they received this back when this was done that this was a future right of way? Is there any question about that? That's what I ask. And
well,
it was not a public.
And that's why I'm asking, because I don't know. I'm asking you, looking at the subdivision map itself, look at sheet three.
I don't have that.
Okay, I can give you a copy. There's a reference to a temporary easement, which is the circle portion. It's like a P shape. And then there's a reference to Enrico Road. But where is that demarked as an E? It was transferred in fee, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, but was it part of it? It was never built as a road. It's part of it. They wouldn't have built this cul-de-sac if that were a road.
I get the practicality of it. I completely understand that. What I'm asking you is, at some point, we took a deed that just refers to a road and doesn't mark out anything that says future road, unimproved road, anything, right? Am I reading that right? I mean, because there's a demarcation of a right of way that's the one out to Fiano, but there's no demarcation of a right of way out to Pedroli, or in those days it was Guarnichel, according to the maps.
So what you're saying is the reference in the deed for the.
I'm not saying anything. I'm asking.
No, no. I think
is there something that
I think you're pointing out
describes it separately and differently than the road itself?
I think you're pointing out something that I would agree with.
Okay.
So that reference of the 50 feet is probably the stub that goes between lots 5 and 6.
I understand it. So the second question is, if we go to the minutes of the acceptance of the road, which admittedly are a little opaque.
That's the Planning and Zoning Commission.
No, these are the subdivision. These are the
So
these are second minutes because they're referencing to the recommendation that was coming from the planning commission. So I don't have a copy of the recommendation of the planning commission. I don't have a copy of an as-built survey, but I have these minutes. And they just say, we accept the road as shown on the map. Well, which map? If it's this map, doesn't it go all the way to the Pavoli's property?
Well, why not? Why was there a cul-de-sac?
Good question.
Why wasn't it paved?
Why was the deed in fee and not as an easement? That's another question.
Well, that's one of the things that the town has debated over the years.
Right.
Yeah.
So this isn't an easement. It's the town owns the actual land. The abutting landowner's property stock at the so somebody owns it. The town owns it. And I guess I'm questioning what it is you're relying on to treat that last 100, 200 feet, whatever it is,
well,
differently for this purpose.
I will admit that I read this as being the 50 feet that was said that's in question, which is an error on my part. But I think if it's describing the one between lots 5 and 6 of the subdivision, why wasn't it also describing the one between lots 10 and 11?
I didn't write.
I know.
So my next question is that I'm looking at, do you have Mr. Pajoli's surveyor's map? Because that's the
most helpful. I had all this stuff, and
it's in front of Mr. Moore.
Are we using the one with the elevations?
Right.
Because this one map, I had seen this before. Yes, sir.
Because now I think we're getting to the crux of what the issue seems to be between the two sides here. I'm looking at two driveways that exist that cross this property that's owned by the town. That's the Ward driveway and the Moore driveway, both partially are in the town, on the town's land. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. So what I'm struggling with is, how is it okay for them to put a driveway over the town's land and not Mr. Pajoli, whose land also borders on the town land? What is legally the difference between those
That's a good question. And was there a mistake made? You think maybe someone made a mistake? I think they did. I think that's not a public road, and they should not have issued those permits.
Okay, so the town also issued a permit on Elizabeth Road in the exact same situation. I can't distinguish them. Can you? So was it a mistake or was it something we do?
Is it some policy that the town has? I don't know. I've never seen that. And the cases do distinguish between rights of way and public roads. And I've done a lot of research on public roads and access to them and so forth. I've read a lot of the treatises as well. But your position works towards concluding that this is a public road.
Well, I don't have a position.
Well, that's
I'm asking the question. Well,
that's where you're going.
I'm asking the question because I'm trying to be struggling to be fair to everyone in this room and everybody who might come to us or might have come to us in the past.
You raised some good issues. No question about it.
And it's always important to me that we have a rationale for what we do that has some actual human, real force behind it. So my question is, what is the difference between the Grimaldi property on Elizabeth and the Ward property and the Moore property and the Pajoli property in terms of what they're allowed to do on the 50-foot, whatever it is? Semantics, whether it's right-of-way or road. It's a property that the town owns, and some people have been allowed to use it, and some people haven't. Why am I going to tell somebody they can't?
So I guess you say, okay, we didn't make a mistake.
Well, I don't know if we did or not.
Well, I think that's the only way you can justify why those permits are on that piece of property.
If we did make a mistake and we gave three other people those abilities, are we bound by that in any way legally, do you think?
There's the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, the Equal Protection Clause, that could be used by someone who says that the government is treating other citizens more differently than me under the same factual circumstances. Those are very difficult cases to win because of the discovery, the depositions, the law, you know, everything you have to do. So I think the town would have some vulnerability.
Would we have to tell everybody else to take their driveways off?
You could. Okay. That's another issue. There may be an estoppel issue that comes into play there, Aaron.
Estoppel against the town is hard to prove.
Excuse me, just one more.
The town could be a stop from making them do that because somebody relied on that decision by a town employee.
That's why I asked where's the permit and why the as-built shows gravel and the actual driveways are paved.
Yeah,
because I don't have that information. Well, let me ask you one more question. If there's a safety issue.
Jim, could I answer that question for you? Would you like that answered at this time?
Eventually. Well, can you answer it now?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So we require as-builts for foundations, according to our zoning regulations, prior to the construction of the house itself. And so I would expect that when they did the as-built, the house was not constructed and the driveway was not improved to the point that it was paved, which is why it would show on the as-built as a gravel drive.
This one shows a house.
It shows a foundation.
No, it says house. Doesn't say foundation. It doesn't say proposed house. 527-80. Proposed alteration to existing two-car garage. I think the garage came after the house.
Is that an important question, sir?
Well, I'm just asking, you don't have driveway permits though, right?
So I haven't, I have not looked.
Okay, so we have to look. Let me go back to
you,
Jane Roger. If there's a safety issue with adding another driveway, is that something that's a rational basis to make a decision? If there's a snow issue?
Well,
or do we say everybody's in the same boat?
I think the selectmen definitely have the authority to consider the safety of the public.
Okay. If we did allow another driveway, would we be able to tell the three abutters to work out how the configuration and come back to us? It's something that they can all live with?
I don't think you have that power.
No.
Yeah, I don't think you have that power.
Okay.
When we have multiple driveways in town, the developer comes to the Planning and Zoning Commission and proposes a common driveway easement, which is a contractual agreement between everyone. And I review those. And we make it very clear that, you know, the town has no responsibility for maintaining that driveway. And yeah, that would have to be a contractual relationship.
Yeah. They're not usually on town land.
And they're usually not on right of ways.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes. Hey, Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. DiPietro, do you have a question for Attorney Barger? You're on mute, sir.
You should have done.
No. Heard enough.
Thanks, Bob.
That's pretty clear. Thank you. Mr. Moore?
I've been sitting here, and obviously I've been observing and listening.
Question?
I do have it. And unfortunately, we don't have the data here to answer my questions. I think Adam brought up a couple of good points.
Would you like to bring them up?
Driveway permits. And mentioned it to Jim. I'd like to see what happened. I'd like to see what the history is. I don't want to be creating, and my issue has always been, I don't want to create a precedent that we're going to either hate or like or whatever. That's what I'm saying is a decision that I have to make here, we have to make, is based upon the facts. And since we don't have all the facts, I don't think you can make this decision.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't have the facts.
Come back to that. Any further questions for anyone on the town staff before us? Hearing none, then I will move on. At this time, we'll move on to number 5, consider and possible action. At this time, Mr. Moore, you have the floor.
Thank you. The driveway issues that Adam brought up are legitimate concerns and issues. For me, The decision is based upon what is legally acceptable there. Is that legally acceptable? Does that work or doesn't it? That's obviously the key issue before us. However, it's not the simplest thing in the world. Obviously, listening to the discussions, I feel like I'm in court again, listening to three parties discussing an issue. I can absorb a lot, but with all the data here, I really need a little more information to come up with an honest answer for all the parties. I know the parties, I know them well. And I also know that cul-de-sac. I've had the misfortune of having been down there as a town employee to have to deal with the snow in that issue, and it's horrendous. It's an exceedingly difficult situation. The design is a nightmare. But again, that's an issue we have to consider. That's an issue we should consider. That's the safety side issue. But the technical issues, that we need answers for before I can make a decision.
Are there specific technical issues?
I'm going back to we have questions about why are those driveways there? Were the proper permits taken out to have them there? Were they misplaced? What's the story on that? Is it in many cases historically in some of these subdivisions where you have this strip, what would happen is the developer would then continue the road, and that becomes a paved road. The driveways are then modified to enter into that road rather than into a cul-de-sac. You can go around and see that in another situation. Does that play into here or doesn't? That's another one of the questions.
Going to Mr. Petro for just a minute. Mr. Petro, do you have something you would like to add at this point?
I'd just like to go back to what the town attorney originally said. He said something about not knowing whether or not the board of this is a jurisdictional issue for the board of selectmen even to begin with. Wouldn't answer that. Is it or isn't it? If it's not, then I'm going to make a motion that we table this.
Mr. DiPietro, would you like a question answered by the town attorney before you make that motion?
Yes.
Would you restate the question, please, for the attorney and speak slowly?
Yep. Sorry.
Thank you. No,
Is the Board of Selectmen have purview over this issue in the first place?
Mr. Barber?
I think it's been disputed that someone other than this board has been issuing driveway permits for years and years and years. Perhaps the road foreman, I'm not sure, but the charter, as currently worded, and I believe it's previously worded, authorizes the selectmen to delegate duties. One of the duties enumerated in its ordinances is that it'll consider permits for driveways. Has the delegation happened? Obviously it has, factually. We don't have evidence of when it happened or whether there's a formal motion, but for years and years, and Jim's been here, and it's what, 18 years, something like that, 17 years, it's been handled by the road foreman, I believe, Jim, you said, right?
That's correct.
So I think that's a question. I can't make that decision. I'm raising the issue. It's something that should be considered, and maybe this matter should be tabled while you look into some of these issues on a more thorough basis.
At this point, Mr. DiPietro, before you make a motion, putting a motion to table is different than putting a motion before us to go into recess. To recess this meeting while we get more information. Motion to table takes it off the calendar of the Board of Selectmen, and it must be reconsidered to bring it back by someone on the prevailing side. That's just a Robert's Rules of Order from a very old, tired brain this evening. Would you like to postpone making a motion, sir, at this time?
Yes, you make a good point. Madam Slatton, First Slatton, I will make a motion to recess.
Is there a second at this moment time to make a to second his motion to recess? And it would be a debatable motion. Is there a second to his motion?
Yes.
At this time, there's a second to motion, and it's time for comment. Mr. DiPietro, would you like to comment further?
No, ma'am.
Mr. Mori, as a seconder, would you like to comment?
No, ma'am. I said it all.
And Mr. Teller, would you like to comment?
May I just have a moment, Madam Chair? I just want to look at the charter for one moment.
There's a motion before us to recess. At this time, we will take a 3-minute recess as well before we consider the issue. Thank you.
Poor Linda.
Poor Linda.
I need a raise.
She said you got to remember me with a hearing issue. I work like Ellen. Dora speaks very clearly. I hear every word she says.
I project.
Yes,
speaking of erosion, my driveway is completely shot with the rain. Completely. I need hydrated plant. I need help.
Thank you for everyone's indulgence. At this time, I will call the meeting back to order. Mr. Peter, you have the floor. Would you like to further elaborate as to why you made the motion that you did, sir?
Thank you. I think this is a very complex issue. It involves a jurisdictional question. It involves finding previous history. And if Mr. Mora, point about establishing a possible precedent, I think we ought to consider all the options and do what's best for everyone. I think Mr. Pardoli made a very good point. I think a recess would give us some time to look at all of the facts and reconsider from every angle and every side and make the best decision for everybody. Thank Amen.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Mora, as I said, I'll
yeah. The
motion.
Just to expound a little bit on that. It's our goal to be fair for all parties here. And to do that, you have to have all the facts before you and to make the proper decision. And we're simply not going to put this off, but I think we're trying to I am and the rest, I'm sure the rest of the board want to come up with a decision that's correct.
Thank you. Mr. Teller, do you have anything to add?
Do a couple of things.
Sir.
As far as our ability to make this decision, I think we have it because an ordinance says we have it. Mm-hmm. And while it's probably, I'm quite convinced that historically the ability to issue driveway permits was delegated to one or another town staff. My problem is we don't have a specific vote delegating that authority from the board as a whole. it clearly doesn't divest us of the authority to do that. And somebody's asking us to do that. So we have to do our job, which is what our ordinance says. Yeah. In the future, would it be nice to have a resolution delegating this particular job to the town administrator? Yes, it would. Because it's a lot of time and other things for us to do this. The second feeling I have is that I agree with Mr. Moore. There's some information I would like to have if it's available, which is, are there driveway permits for those other two abutters? I know we've seen the driveway permit for the Grimaldi property, so we know that at least one time in the past, the town has granted this this privilege of using town property in a particular way. It would be helpful to me if I had some sense of either the snow issue or the safety issue of two or three driveways in this location, in this configuration. And I would, if it was something that the town engineer or the town administrator felt that there was within their competence to do, I'd like to have that before making a final decision. For myself, I would ask the neighbors and Mr. Pajoli if they could at least have some kind of conversation offline about how, if there are going to be driveways at the end of this cul-de-sac, that everyone could have what they need to have pending some future day when the road might be driven through all of your all of your area and change that in a way that all of you could live with and all of you could be satisfied with and won't screw up your topography or any of the other things you're relying on, your mailboxes, whatever else. And maybe it might be necessary to take out the island in the circle to make that safe or make it better for the... now that's something, the island is up to us.
Excuse me, would you just... keep your comments sure. to the motion before us.
Well, I think this is a community where we are used to doing things in a respectful, cooperative way. And I think as a board, we should model that behavior.
So
we should ask, and I think it's perfectly legitimate in my comments to ask the neighbors and the people in the neighborhood to meet together and speak to themselves, speak to each other as neighbors and see if there's a resolution that would satisfy all of them that they could then support as a neighborhood. If they can't, it's our job to make decisions about driveways because apparently we have an ordinance that says it is. And it might be that somebody gets driveways that they don't like next to them, or it might be that somebody doesn't get driveways, or maybe nobody gets driveways.
Thank you.
So, yes, we should defer this until we have a little more information and give people time in the fullness of time to have potentially a resolution that would satisfy everyone.
Thank you. As a member of this board and having heard all the evidence brought before us, having heard the comments that have been brought before us, and having heard the requests that have been brought before us by other members of the board looking for further information, I would concur that it is appropriate for us to recess this meeting to be brought forward at a future date that we will establish shortly. So at this time, I would like to call, unless there's any further comment, at this time then, Mr. Teller.
One thing, when it goes on the agenda, please call it what it is, which is Mr. Pajoli's driveway application, driveway permit application.
Well noted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Having heard the comments before us, at this time, and there are no further questions, I will call for a roll call. Mr. Mora?
Aye.
Mr. DiPietro?
Aye.
Mr. Teller?
Aye.
And I will also vote aye. We have 4 out of 5 with Mr. Aramita being absent. At this time, I will say that the motion has passed, that we will recess this meeting to be reconvene at a future date. And the parties will be notified of what that date is. So at this time, because their action has been taken to recess, we will then say this is the appropriate item to take up now is number 6 for adjournment. Hold that thought, please.
Before we adjourn, I'd like to have clarity about what additional information the board would like.
An appropriate request.
And I'll tell you what I have written down.
Yes, sir.
Based on the conversation, we'd like to see as-built drawings for the road if they're available. We'd like to see driveway permits for the two existing driveways that come into the cul-de-sac if they exist. We'd like to have some comment from our public safety professionals about snow removal and where does the snow go, and are there things that might make that better if there's going to be some work in that area?
Correct.
And is there a safety issue from the perspective of the town engineer and our public works director?
Correct.
Is there any other request for Mr. Rupert for additional information? At this time, I would like to then say, and you're satisfied, sir?
Yes.
At this time, I would like to say a very special thank you to you as townspeople and also representing your townspeople. This is a very special time in your democracy, and I want you to understand that you've done an action that reflects what you believe and understand is your democratic right come before this board. So we'd like to say thank you for that. At this time then, because we can certainly say that there is always, we welcome any further discussion that you wish to have amongst each other. That's a very positive, enabling thing to do, but it's certainly not something that we would direct you to do. At this time then, I would take a motion to adjourn. Mr. Moore motions to adjourn. Mr. Teller seconds. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Have a good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Is there anything that's